Cedric Muhammad.
I hate to say it, man, but all the editorializing, commentating, and interpreting from Oprah, stop, please, let Mike speak.
Somebody, and they've loved you, that you end up with an angel whose name that you know.
I don't know, Oprah. You know, I would like to believe that. That sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but my first instinct was a lot of rage, you know, and I'm just so happy that I had the tools in life, you know, not to go that direction, because I've been that direction. I know where it's going to lead me. I know I'm not going to win.
Yeah.
I'm tired of losing. I want to win now.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I'm just fortunate to know I have children by different women. We're just so down and close together, my family. That's just that's my biggest asset.
Biggest asset.
They love each other. They just love each other. You know.
So those are all your children.
Yeah.
Oh God.
We'll be right back.
Let me speak to you Yankees fans real quick. Listen up.
To the action on the field, what do you see as the Dodgers' biggest advantage going into the series against the Phillies?
The Phillies have this great core of left-handed hitters, Chase Utley, Ryan Howard, Raul Ibanez. Well, the Dodgers have some excellent left-handed pitching to combat those hitters. Beyond the fact that they have Randy Wolf and Clayton Kershaw, they have two excellent late-inning left-handed relievers. Think about these numbers, Hannah. Hong-Chi Kuo, since he came back from the disabled list, has held left-handed hitters to just 5 hits in 33 at-bats and 1 home run. And George Sherrill, the other left-handed reliever, has held left-handed hitters to a 128 batting average, 0 home runs in 78 at-bats. So in the late innings, when you see guys like Utley, Howard, Ibanez coming up, you know Joe Torre will be coming out of the dugout, pointing that left hand out to the bullpen.
Awfully impressive numbers out of the Dodgers' bullpen. But where do the defending champion Phillies have the edge over Los Angeles?
As Joe watched that game 4 between the Phillies and Rockies, I'm sure that it occurred to him at some point, wow, these Phillies remind me a lot of those Yankee teams in the late 90s because they have so many tough veterans. You know, guys like Jimmy Rollins and Shane Victorino and Utley and Howard coming up with these really tough at-bats in the late innings, working the count, keeping the pressure on opposing pitchers. During that series against the Rockies, the Phillies hitters drew 19 walks as compared to Colorado's 10 walks. And I think that postseason experience the Phillies have generated over the last few years has really become a weapon for them in the way that it had become a weapon for those Yankee teams in the late 90s. As Jimmy Rollins said, we just don't think we're going to lose.
And as right. You invoke the Yankees, of course, that the last team to successfully defend a World Series title in 1999 and 2000.
Bums.
A Buster only. As always, we appreciate it. Thanks. Talk to you soon.
Yankees are bums. I'm not impressed. You will get to the World Series. I'm confident. I'm not impressed. The Phillies will check that chin. Cell phones in schools. As parents, how do you feel about this? Let's look at the debate from the perspective of the French. Cell phones in schools.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Face Off on France 24. Should cell phones be banned in schools? This is the question today. There might be two arguments in favor of banning cell phones in school. The first one is health concerns for your children. The second one is that if you spend your time sending text messages to your friend, you are not listening to your teacher. So the French Senate wants a bill that would ban cell phones from primary schools and middle schools. The government would prefer to leave each school responsible for its choices. So to discuss this issue are today two guests who were asked to switch their cell phones before getting on the set. Anissa Mbida, who is the managing editor of 01 Informatique. Hello.
Hello.
And Guillaume Gralet, who is a journalist with L'Express News Weekly here in Paris.
Hello.
Mr. Mbida, are cell phones compatible with learning in school?
Well, I'll start by saying that they should ban stupidity. I know a lot of politicians would be out of job if we ban stupidity, but for me, it's not a health concern. It's not a consultation concern. It's more of an authority concern because they don't know how to rule the cell phone at school, so they just ban them. And I think it's just stupid because it reminds me a long time ago, a very long time ago at Plato's time, people used to say that writing would be bad for kids. Why writing will be bad for kids? Because, you know, when you write something, you don't memorize the same thing. So and writing is not interactive. When you talk, it's interactive. When you talk, you memorize the thing. And so Plato said that people should not use pencils at school. And now it's completely ridiculous. People say, we better use pencil. When I was at college, people say we should not use a calculator at school because it's not good for the education. And now people realize that it's not the calculators that's a problem. We should learn how to do calculation, and being able to memorize 2 times 2, 3 times 4 is not good for education. It's not the main topic or issue of education. So it's always the same thing. No moral panics when a new technology comes along.
But let me ask just before you jump in. According to a recent poll, half of the children between the ages of 12 and 17 use their cell phones in the classroom. Mm-hmm. How can you concentrate if you do this, if you send text messages or you speak on the phone?
I think that's a huge opportunity. I do not agree with you, because if you look at the recent telephone mobile phones models, like the BlackBerry, like the iPhone, a mobile phone now is a computer. And remember, 20 years ago in France, there was a program which aimed to equip all the schools with computers, and that was a bright idea. Now there is a computer in nearly each school, and we can do nearly everything with a mobile phone today. The main thing and the main difficulty for the teachers would be to conduct the pupils to use in a bright way the mobile phones. You can learn so much things with the iPhone. But the smartphones.
Also, yes. What about the parents? You know, many parents they give, you know, those kids, they can't pay for the phone for themselves. Most of the time, the parents are paying the phone. Why the parents are paying the phone? It's because it makes them feel safe. So the kids can call the parents after school so we can pick them up. If there's a problem, bomb threat or whatever, they feel safer. And sometimes it's a tool that empowers the kids.
Okay. You have France 24, a nice little debate on cell phone usage in schools. I want to commend somebody in the spirit of business, David Aldridge. I remember him as a NBA analyst. If you've noticed in watching the league division series in Major League Baseball, he has been doubling as a baseball commentator. And I love to see the transition. Somebody who was known really only for one sport crossing over. David Aldridge, let me throw his pick up. You all remember him. I think he's only done basketball. Do I have his pick? I don't even know if I have his pick. But anyway, he does the post interviews. I don't even have his pick, I don't think. I wanted to honor him for making the transition. But we'll get to him soon. Aldridge. Well, great show. I think we covered a lot of ground. It's around that time again. If you have any questions, comments, you can send them through the comment box. Look forward to whatever you all have to offer. Let me try to answer succinctly Mark's earlier question about a difference between a society of markets and a market economy. What the difference is. I think the difference is that a market economy is one that's where every form of economic activity has been formalized. I think that's the main difference. A society with markets is one that operates with a lot of informal economic activity as well as formal. This is why I talk a lot about kinship systems. A society with markets, you'll find that the social organization of the family, voluntary associations, tribe, religious groups, and ethnicity, they actually in and of themselves are economies. So you don't really need a formal market when you have high levels of trust in these social organizations, families, voluntary associations, the whole nine. This is what I think I'm going to blog on. Write another blog essay about the importance of the Nobel Prize laureate Professor Williamson from California, because he's elevating that issue, I think, in an indirect way. So in a society that's dominated or a market economy, everything is formalized. The family's diminished, the business firm, I would say firms are even diminished. Firms are diminished as organizers of economic inputs in a market economy. The market becomes the dominant means by which organization takes place. Let me put the camera on me so you all can feel the realness. Chapter 4 of this volume. Am I doing it right? Yeah. Chapter 4 of this volume. 1, The Entrepreneur's Secret. I talk about the business firm and capital. Critical to understand what a business firm actually is. It is not, as E. Franklin Frazier and Dr. Manny Marble, I think, unintentionally led us to believe that it was just a place where profits were maximized. A business firm is actually a place where economic inputs are organized, people are able to unite with one another, and they are institutions of cooperation. They organize cooperation, as do families, households, voluntary associations like rotating savings and credit associations. So that's what the big difference is. In Western societies, Westernized societies, you tend to have more formal economic activity, individual property rights, the use of money, courts of law, rules that govern the entrance and the exit of economic activity, bankruptcies. Everything is pretty much codified. Now, Chinese business law is very interesting because you have a lot of both elements, market economy as well as society of markets, as Marx puts it, because the Chinese have what's called an ethnic trading network and a diaspora and a homeland. As we learned earlier, we saw a little bit of that in what I read about Chinatown. The Chinese move it. To me, the Chinese may move in and out of formal and informal economic activity better than anyone. The Jewish community is the obvious favorite, but they are so small. They're so small. For China to do it the way they're doing it with so many people in so many different countries, I think it's a little more remarkable. That's my two cents. You all can weigh in on that. But my book is out. I'm very pleased with the initial reaction. I hope all of you all will consider it. I think it has something to offer you, no matter what stage you are in the business process. Even if you just want to learn about politics and economics, I talk about my time advising Cynthia McKinney on economic issues in Volume 1. Volume 3, I just picked up myself. I was looking at what I wrote about emotions and how they affect the mind and the brain, the spirit. Look at my hat. I think I have a bunch of intimidated Yankee fans out there. I don't blame you. Just handle your business with the California Angels, or the Los Angeles Angels, pardon me. And we'll deal with ours. Let me read some final comments. Cameron Patterson, New Jersey. He confirms it. He says, Ndambi is a really talented songwriter and entrepreneur. As an artist, she has a lot of hustle. She's one of the few singers from that neo-soul period still doing music at the same level. Said, you were the first person to spotlight the Mike Tyson film and saw its potential. I get the feeling that Mike is being used, Mike is used to being rich. I get the feeling that Mike is used to being rich. He spent more time of his life with than without. Oprah has spent a lot of time believing that America needs her to interpret everything for them. You can tell she thinks that Mike needs her to articulate his feelings. It's too bad he never learned the coping skills he would later need. Considering what he's been through, he's turned out all right. Yeah, Oprah's an excellent interviewer, but she likes to teach and preach while she's waiting for an answer. It's kind of annoying. But that Ndambi album, I had to certify it as the hottest unsung album since Teedra Moses, 2004. Holy Day of Atonement website, www.holydayofatonement2009.com, HolyDayofAtonement 2009.com. You can click there to get your tickets for the event. It's in Memphis, Tennessee, at the Memphis Cook Convention Center, Sunday, October 18, 2009 at 2 p.m. It's a phone number, 901-523-2560, 901-523-2560. The theme, accepting responsibility to build our community. Keynote address from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. www.holydayofatonement2009.com is the site. hot beat right here. Let me head out of here. I'm over. Well, there's one more thing I had to do. I would be remiss. Trent from Asbury Park is probably getting excited. He thinks I'm going to run over 5 o'clock. I'm getting reparations for Long Island and Queens, the way that they were dismissed last night. And Jigga, by the way. Jigga is the king of Def Jam. EPMD, disgraced by having to participate in a new artist, so-so artist medley. Shout to Ghost. I didn't like Ghostface in there like that, but I did like the new song being done. EPMD deserved headline status.
Relax your mind, let your conscience be free, and get down to the sound of EPMD. Or you should keep quiet while the MC rap. But if you tired, then go take a nap. Or stay awake and watch the show I take, because right now I'm about to shake and bend. The E-I-C-K is my name I spell. Thanks to the clientele, yo, I rock well. I'm not an MC who talking all that junk about who can beat who. Sound like a punk. I just get down and I go for mine. Say check 1-2, I run down the line.
To the average MC, I'm known as the Terminator, funky beat maker, new Jack Terminator, destroying a ploy when you're rhyming the void, never sweating your girl, why pig, she's a schizoid. When I'm on the scene, I always rock the spot. I grab the steel with the crown on top. In the beginning, I like to let my rhymes flow, and at 12, I press cruise control.
The official site for my book is theesecret.com, theesecret.com, theesecret.com.
Stay tuned to the Black Coffee Channel, home of the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Radio program.
Personal computer information on rap, like the BRZ Marcuses that make your toes tap. I format the rhymes step by step, make them sound deaf to retain my rap. Prepare to come off in case of a dish. No worry about the thing, cause we can do this. I can turn the party out just by standing still. Make a lady scream and shout while the brothers like it. Take total control of your body and soul. Pack a nine.
I smoked out a victim. Cameron from Paterson, New Jersey says, leave the Yankees alone. The hitting is back. The pitchers are rested. Although we don't have any real speedsters on the base pass, we know how to manufacture runs. I see the Yankee fitted on a jersey representative.
But every now and then a sucker MC gets courageous, and like an epidemic it becomes contagious. But nevertheless they all RIP. All is underwear, it means rest in peace. Cause MD stands for microphone doctor in the capital P, capital M, capital D, E, E. No doubt the G rocker. Don't like to get ill, but if I have to I kill him. So believe me boy, you got the chill.
Catch every word I'm saying, no, it's no delaying. Don't hesitate to motivate the crowd, I'm not playing. Seeing is believing, you catch my drift. I'm trying to enter out because I'm just too swift.
How swift?
I'm so swift and that's a natural fact. I'm like Zorro, I'm all E in your back. I don't swing on no ropes or no iron cords. The only weapon is no rap.
And I want you, as they used to tell me when I was a little boy in school, to put on your thinking caps. Because I want Muslims, Christians, and Jews, agnostics, atheists, and members of all religious faiths to think with me. Some in this room are Masonics. And you know that as a Mason, every degree of knowledge that you get, you have to pay some price for it. The truth of the matter is, for every degree of knowledge that we get, there is pain and there is suffering commensurate with and equal to that degree of knowledge. Every one of you in this audience who have grown from one level of knowledge to another, if you will look at your own growth, you had to go through some pain and suffering to achieve that knowledge. The greater the knowledge, the greater the pain.
Yes, sir.
The greater the knowledge, the greater the discomfort, the greater the trouble. The greatest of all knowledge is the knowledge of God and the knowledge of self. Therefore, the effort to gain the greatest knowledge is necessarily accompanied by the greatest pain and suffering. And this is why we are asked in the scriptures to endure. Because when that knowledge comes, all of the pain and suffering that we endured to get to that knowledge will be like the woman in the pain of delivery. The moment she sees her new life, she forgets the pain that brought her that new life. And the moment you come into the pure knowledge of God and self, you begin to forget the pain that got you to that degree of knowledge. God's desire is that we come to know Him and to know self fully. But this is a process that takes a long time for its fulfillment.
Yes, sir.
This process that would bring us fully into the knowledge of God and fully into the knowledge of self is to be accomplished at a specific period of time.